B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think Washington will be in on it. I think Carolina will be in on it. I think San Francisco will dip their toe in. Everybody knows Indianapolis is involved to some degree. And one thing that's interesting is where these teams are picking. So, for example, like Carolina has the 8th pick. New England has the 15th pick. Washington, I think, is what, 19? And then Indy is in the 20s. So, all first-round picks aren't created equal, right? So, if you're New England and you're bidding against Carolina, then you might have to give a little more than 15. If you're New England and you're bidding against Indianapolis, then it becomes, 15 might get it done. So I do think it would probably be a little bit more than just a first round pick, but right in that neighborhood.
T-Bone sending this one out to Bill Belichick.
Bill, you ever hit balls off the dock?
Long distance dedication to Bill in the Virgin Islands.
Well, this song kind of died on the vine, didn't it? This was...
Well, I really wouldn't play it on a day like today.
Oh, you would if it were 80 degrees.
My balls are cold.
But last summer, you would think this... I'm sure Hootie thought this was... Darius thought this was going to be... the next chicken fried.
Yeah, I never caught. Didn't catch on. You heard Bert Breer talking about the asking price for Matthew Stafford. A first pick, a first round pick plus some, and number 15 may not be good enough. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I think it's going to go up. I think it's going to be more than that. You know, the more you get interested here and say you whittled down to 5, maybe, and we all know what, third of the league's already contacted them, then you can you really narrow that thing down to 5, all right? Let's go. Start making your best offers. And we'll see. I think it's going to be more. I think it's going to be at least a 1, maybe a 2, and maybe some players. I mean, if he's best available... But then you get Watson sitting there at 29 a year for 5 years. I thought he made more money than that. I thought he was around 39. What are you in at if you're New England on Stafford? Number 15, we talked to already talked me into it 2 days ago.
Yeah, 15 plus whatever else they ask for. What do you need? 15 plus a little more. What's a little more? What's a little more than that?
What about 15 and a 3? And
done.
A good player.
Who's the good player?
I don't know. J.C. Jackson was mentioned, right?
All right. How about J.C. Jackson in the 15th?
How about Nate Ebner?
What? J.C. Jackson in the 15th overall pick.
Yep.
You do that deal.
Yep.
And if the sweetener is a third rounder, you're still doing the deal. And here's the thing. There's plenty of competition, so you've got to pay the price if you want to trade for a quarterback. And I wonder... If the teams that are in on Stafford and are in on Deshaun Watson, and according to reports, there's a ton in on both. There have been a lot of calls made on those guys. The teams that lose in that race for those two arms, what happens to the trade price for Jimmy Garoppolo following that?
Yeah.
It's a fair question to ask. Does his trade value get inflated because other teams are in the market for trading for a quarterback? Does that drive up the price of him where you're not getting him at the, I'll give up a second round pick, you can get you. I don't know if that's possible. And I'm not saying
he's sort of set the mark. Yeah, you know what I mean? One of these guys is going to set that market.
I'm not saying Garoppolo is either one of those guys because he isn't. But if you're getting a great package for Stafford, and this really applies more to Stafford because Deshaun Watson's going to go for a haul. It's going to be a big trade that gets Deshaun Watson to go wherever it is he's going to go. It's really about the Stafford value. If he gets a lot and they get a great deal in Detroit to move him, That could drive up the price of the other available quarterbacks in the trade market, one of which could be Jimmy Garoppolo. So there's something to think about there. I saw Teddy Bruschi's comments that he is out on Matthew Stafford.
Saw that too.
Indicated that what Matthew Stafford does doesn't contribute. As he said, it's not substantial. It's not anything meaningful for the victory. That he's a star and he's fun to watch, but that it doesn't result in wins. He's not a winning quarterback. Is there something to that criticism for Matthew Stafford that we should be paying more attention to? I think we have a tendency to say he's played for the Lions suck, he's had a million different coaches, nothing about that setup has been stable and has set him up for success. I think we give him that excuse.
I think Bruschi would look at him the same way look at like Matt Ryan. You know, one of the same, two of the same guys. Put up a ton of stats, made a ton of money, number one picks, but ultimately never became a winner. I bet you if you ask Bruschi, put him on a truth meter, those two guys are the same guy.
But Matt Ryan has had far more success.
Matt Ryan has been to the Super Bowl.
Matt Ryan has had double-digit.
Would you take any of those guys over Cam Newton? That's the question. Come on.
Well,
you need a guy that can throw. They could throw. Stafford could throw.
I think Stafford's going to prove Bruschi wrong in this regard. And you look at the other players. I mean, I hate to make this Lions-centric, but does anybody think that Barry Sanders wasn't all that? You know, what did he really do to contribute to wins?
But it is different as a quarterback.
It is.
You can impact the game far more than you can as a running back.
But, okay, so how about as a wide receiver? Was Calvin Johnson also not really a winning player because he didn't really win? I mean, I think there's raw talent with these guys who have played on that team. And to say that, he doesn't really contribute to the wins because, well, look at the scoreboard. And the scoreboard's look, that's the ultimate decider. And if you want to reduce it to that, that's fine. But for Bruschi or anyone else to look at Matthew Stafford and say, he's not all that special. I think he's one of the more talented quarterbacks in the league. And I think he's been handcuffed a little bit by coaching. He's been handcuffed a little bit by some personnel decisions that have been made around him in Detroit. And it's the Lions. I mean, you wouldn't talk about a loser franchise. That's it.
Bruschi's not denying him his talent, though. He said he's talented and can throw the thing all over the field and he's great, but that he's just not a winner, basically. I'm summarizing that.
I don't even know.
He's just not a winning player. Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's one of 22. You know, you can only do so much. Is there something that he's doing wrong late in games that prevents them from winning?
Maybe he just doesn't have that Brady thing that Brady's got.
No, but one guy does. That's Brady.
And there's few guys that do. That's all. I mean, I'm just bringing it up. I am all for Matthew Stafford. I think he's great. I think he's super talented, and I think he's tough, and I think he could be a really good fit here.
I think it'd be a good fit here. I mean, obviously we will see, but I'm telling you that Stafford is going to prove Teddy Bruschi wrong if he goes to the right team. And it may not happen right away with the Patriots. They've got a lot of other personnel issues they have to figure out. But if he ends up in Indianapolis or if he ends up in San Francisco, that team's going to the playoffs and they're going to win games. With Stafford as their quarterback, and he will be more than a guy who's just fun to watch. He will be contributing to those wins. He will be the winner that Teddy and probably a few other people say he isn't.
Dave is in Weymouth today. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys, on those prop bets you were talking about earlier, I definitely say Patriots over because just that stat about Kansas City trying to be the first team to repeat since the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I bet they get the over just on that stat. Oh, and by the way, you're talking about national anthem earlier. Best national anthem performance ever was Meatloaf at the 1994 Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Meatloaf? That's a dumb comment.
What? Why? Why is it dumb? Do you remember it?
No, I would say Whitney Houston in Tampa for the Giants-Bills Super Bowl was probably the best.
That was a good anthem.
It was very good.
She nailed it.
I liked Aretha Franklin, Thanksgiving Day in Detroit. She went on for 5 minutes.
You could eat your whole meal.
We tried playing it once, or we probably tried playing it a couple of times on the air. Can't get through it.
T-Bone, I just
5
can't
minutes.
I just can't get past T-Bone's collar. Like, is it the fact that he doesn't have a neck or that the collar's that big?
T-Bone is so good at his job, he's already got a sample of the Meatloaf Anthem.
Oh.
Join Grammy Award-winning MCA Radio.
Mr. Loaf.
As he sings the Star Spangled Banner.
Are you watching the video, T-Bone? Is he playing the piano? No. That's good.
It sounds like Meatloaf, but it's good.
Would you love me? Would you love me forever? Would
you know who he sounds a little bit like?
Who?
Jack Black.
Tom and Worcester.
Oh, yeah.
It's a compliment to Meatloaf is what that is.
Yeah.
I would say he's got a very similar delivery and voice to Tom and Worcester. Yeah.
I take back my comment on that listener.
Yeah, Dave wasn't giving you like a joke.
A dumb comment. You say Meatloaf, I would not expect this. This is pretty good. I take that back. Sorry about that.
Sorry, Dave.
How about Fergie at the NBA All-Star game?
Nope.
Oh, my God. Nope. My uppy humps.
That's right up there with Roseanne.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do? All that junk inside that trunk. I'm gonna get you.
Love what are you turning it down for, Debo? Oh, turn it up.
Debo, can you play?
No. Here we go.
We're going to go spend 5 minutes listening to this. 617-779-0985.
Can you play Humpy Humps next?
Your little Beetle would have been, they started a couple feet away from Griffey at the end in the home of the Brave. Yeah. And zoomed in close to his face taking up the whole screen at the very end.
I've got Ken Griffey Jr. news for you that I could tell you about. Legitimate news today that happened within the last 10 minutes. I'll tell you that. And Zoe, I know you got a little more on Deshaun Watson. I know you mentioned it here in this segment. We'll get to that too. And your calls on a Friday. Read and React at 11:36.
To that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now,
if you want to get weird sometimes, yeah.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Back then, you knew not to touch it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Michael McDonald ever do the anthem? That just popped into my head as I heard this.
What?
How long would the Michael McDonald anthem be?
Over.
I'd go over on him.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. The news on Ken Griffey Jr. is he has been hired by Major League Baseball. He is going to handle some outreach things. He's going to handle some youth baseball development items. Here's how it reads from the Major League Baseball Communications Office. Hall of Famer Ken Griffey Jr. has been named senior advisor to the commissioner. He will consult with Major League Baseball on a number of issues with special emphasis on baseball operations and youth baseball development, and will serve as an ambassador at youth initiatives and at special events. That's nice. I mean, again, for me, favorite athlete of all time. Love it. But do kids care about Ken Griffey Jr.?
No. They don't even know who he is.
They don't know who he is.
No.
I mean, okay. Great. I just don't know that that draws any new kids. That's going to draw the guys with kids to go to see something, I guess. Like, sure. that will excite the parents. I don't know if it's going to excite any kids to get interested in baseball.
Like it excites old-time baseball people or baseball fans.
Yeah, baseball fans that are in like their 30s.
Yeah.
Right now.
Like you.
And have kids. Yeah, that, I guess I would be the guy, but I don't know why my kids would care about that.
You take your three kids, they're going to be like, who's that, Dad?
Yeah, my kids don't care who that is. Oh. They don't care about anything with baseball. They know who Tom Brady is, that's for sure. So we'll see what happens with that. Deshaun Watson. Speaking of young football stars, Deshaun Watson is available. He has formally requested his trade, and half the league has apparently called.
One
half of the league. That means there are teams that you think have their quarterback situation figured out are calling and asking. And I assume that every single team that does not have their quarterback situation figured out, New England Patriots, had to have called. They had to have been one of these teams that called. And so you think the contract is actually very attractive.
Yeah, I was off on this. I was really off on this because – you know, when the Russ Wilson money came in, you're talking 39. Obviously, Mahomes over 40. We don't even mention Mahomes anymore because that's another stratosphere. He's done. He's locked up. When you talk about best young quarterback in the game, everybody says Mahomes. Yeah, naturally. But there's no shot at Mahomes. You're never going to get it. It's Deshaun Watson next. And it's 5 years left at $29 million per. Ryan Tannehill makes 28. Would you pay Ryan Tannehill? Would you pay Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun Watson.
The years aren't there, obviously, with Tannehill, but you should be more interested in Watson. Teams that maybe think they have their guy should still call on this guy. Chicago should call. How about this? Pittsburgh yesterday, Ben Roethlisberger, after Dean Rooney said, well, we're going to have to do something here because he gets a $41 million cap. I don't care about my money. I'll rework my deal. You know, if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm calling Houston. If I'm Baltimore, I'm calling Houston. How about that? You think Lamar Jackson's your guy for the next 5-6 years?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly the type of team
there's more that has to be
in that mix.
There's going to be more quiet, silent type teams like that. They're going to be in on him than people think are really the ones that are going to be interested. You know, obviously like Chicago, New England, maybe the Jets, maybe Miami. Rams. What would McVay do with him?
Trading for Watson means that you would get a guy for 5 years for a total cost of $146 million.
Jimmy Garoppolo's deal was for $137.
Yeah. So you get Watson at 5 and $146. And you can get out of the deal in 3 years if you want to. There's an out in there, too.
So if it
turns out that he doesn't work out or he's not the quarterback that pretty much everybody believes he is and can be.
Yeah.
Or there's a bad, you know, I don't know, bad mix, just doesn't work, doesn't fit, whatever. You don't think he's as good as you thought, whatever it is. You can get out in 3 years. There's an out in there.
I couldn't do it if I were Baltimore, though.
I disagree.
He's
not the guy there. Sorry.
You're paying him 1.7 for one more year. I would take one more year to make sure he's not the guy before you move on from him.
But then you hurt that core of the ability of those young guys now that are kind of there and are ready to win. Like if you're Baltimore, okay, we're still better.
I wouldn't give up on Lamar Jackson yet. You want to talk about
trade? I would also say that the Baltimore offense doesn't have the pieces outside of Lamar Jackson to insert Deshaun Watson and be much better than what they are. They need the Lamar Jackson running element on that team because they don't have a lot of good players around Lamar Jackson to throw to. They don't.
That's a problem here. It's a problem here. Multiple problems. At least they got four tight ends.
Yeah, but they're tight ends. You know?
Yeah. You don't have one.
So I think Baltimore could definitely be one of those teams. So I think that's a perfect example that you gave. Perfect example.
I'd quietly do it if I was Baltimore. Like, you don't piss off that player, but you got to do what's right for your team. He don't look like the answer to me. You talk about Deshaun Watson here. An upgrade over Jackson.
As we know, Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause. So that's...
What about the Saints?
Part of this, and he will have some say in all of this.
What about Sean Payton and the Saints?
They could definitely be in. Why would they not?
Everybody thinks, oh, they love Taysom Hill.
Okay, any team that needs a quarterback should be calling. But I'm telling you, just like you mentioned, there are teams that have a quarterback and started and could have made 16 starts this year. But they're under contract, and their team is still picking up the phone and saying, yeah, what would it take? What are you looking for in this deal? We might consider it.
But I think you got to take into account these type of teams that have had starters that, like even Indy, you know, you're paying a guy 20, 25 million. We're already in that ballpark. You're in that ballpark paying what you paid Drew Brees. This is like some of these teams like, oh, I'm paying our guy 2.5 now. That's a big jump for us to get to 30. Now we're kind of already there. And man, we get a massive upgrade at the player.
617-779-0985. Corey's in Fall River. Corey.
Yeah, I'm calling about Deshaun Watson at Tampa Bay. Why isn't anyone talking about Tom Brady next year?
Do you think Brady could retire if he wins?
Yeah, absolutely. Or retire, walk away, you know, or maybe they want to move on. They see Deshaun Watson as the future. And Deshaun Watson's probably looking at Tampa Bay and like, maybe I'll just hang out and see what happens, you know?
I don't think there's a chance Brady retires.
I think there are some people that believe he could, though. That he could go out on top and he could get
it. Makes sense.
It would be a perfect like ending to the book, but I don't think that's what he's gonna do.
Yeah, I think nut job once more. Yeah. I think El Wacko once more. I think El Wacko's looking forward to coming here next year and play.
Ooh. Brady's got this circled on his calendar for next year.
So that's not the craziest thing ever. Like, it would be the storybook. How many guys go out on top? Man, you can do it, and you prove everybody, and you do it, and you win the Super Bowl with a different team, and now's the time to retire. I really want to go to Foxborough and play one game with my new team and beat them 52-0.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
the storybook. It's the perfect ending, Tom.
Screw the storybook. I'll go out in the wild card round next year if I have to. Just so long as I can go back.
We'll go 8-8. Just get me to Foxborough
and destroy the Patriots. Okay. How cool would it be though if he did walk away?
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
I won. It only took me 1 year. Just give me a shot with another team to prove it. I don't need to do this anymore.
It didn't take 5 years, like your honor thought, but only one.
I built it in one.
Rehabilitated. Reinvigorated. And finally, going to be relocated.
All in 1 year. 1 year. And he walks away and says, go ahead, take as many years as you like.
Wow.
I did it. It took me 1 year. I was there 9 months and got it done. Or what, 10 months. 10 months, done. I'm out. Going home now. Just to prove to you, you were wrong. And I was right. Read and React is coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drives you crazy.
Zolak and Bertrand get into it.
Everybody's in on it.
In the middle of the day.
And I feel like I've been ranting about this for 10 years.
And now, you can get Zolak and Bertrand on the radio.com app.
It's time to read.
Name I'm not a better hero, go to be a Brit.
And react.
You an Isaac Bruce guy?
I am, and I am, and I am, and I am. And I...
With Zolak and Bertrand.
Right.
How do you feel about this? Go ahead, Zol.
No, go ahead, Peter.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Time to read and react.
Hey! I got to tell you about this wonderful Read and React sponsor in this pile of papers I have here. I got it. Read and React. Brought to you by Homeworks.
Bubba's Barbershop.
Home. There it is again. He's doing it again. when Zoe talks smack to his friends, he then denies it.
That's not smack talk.
Yes, it is.
He then denies
it. Bubba's Barbershop?
I can take it, Zoe. But you just got to admit it, that what it is what that you're doing. That's all.
A little better.
Read and React is brought to you by Homeworks Energy. Scott Zolak's home energy specialists and a mass save partner. Don't read and react to energy usage. Start saving money and energy by scheduling your no-cost virtual home energy assessment now at homeworksenergy.com. I used them, Zoe, because you told me to use them. I did.
I saw some pictures in your house. You got those energy-saving strips. See them there next to the fireplace.
The wind.
Look at that. He's got the same ones I got.
Is the light bulbs.
Mm.
The light bulbs they gave me are...
They're bright.
Real nice.
Breathe. That mango tree bore its first mango 9 years later, which we all, as a family, sat down and ate.
React.
You freak you.
You know my kids wanted to plant an apple tree.
Why not?
And they were very disappointed when I told them, we can plant an apple tree in the spring if you'd like, but it's not going to have any apples for like
until you go to college.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a very long time before they have any apples on that tree.
Yeah.
Can't plant this thing. We don't have a placenta.
Like, what do you mean it's going to? I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a very long time, many, many years.
Until you have a little sister.
So let's just go to like Stop and Shop and get the apples.
Get the apples.
Well, you come by me. I got the big apple here. We'll go up through Joe's Rock and we sneak onto the big apple.
I don't want to know.
Pull apples off the tree.
I don't want to know what kind of apple biting goes on up there at Joe's Rock.
Saints GM Mickey Loomis was asked if the team is waiting on Drew Brees before moving forward with a quarterback decision.
We'll wait for him, but look, we've got a lot of other planning to do. Look, there's more unknowns right now than there are knowns in the sense that we don't yet know what the cap's going to be next year. Even a narrow range we don't have yet.
Yes, you do.
Liar, 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 liar.
What are you talking about?
Liar, 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 liar.
I can go to Pro Football Talk and they'll tell me what the cap is going to be. What is he talking about?
Patriots, $65 million under the cap next year. Let's go.
All the salary cap projections are all within about $5 to $7 million of each other.
Deflect.
What's he talking about?
Deflect. Deflect.
Oh,
deflect.
You
deflect.
Know- We can't figure out Drew Brees. We don't know.
No. It could be Mickey Loomis.
It could be 10 cents. It could be 10,000. No. Actually, there's a pretty good narrow range. We've figured it out, and the league has reportedly told you guys.
You know
what to expect it to be.
They're projected to be 95 to 100 million over the cap.
Oh my!
That hurts.
That's cap jail.
Cap jail.
Well, they're out on Watson. He'll take his placentas and bury them under those trees out there.
Stop! I can't take that anymore.
It is a thicker blood, like
that. No, God.
It's more. It's enriched. It's coagulated more.
So this is going to be Andy Reid's second Super Bowl against Tom Brady.
Yes.
It's already been brought up. Andy Reid was asked about that by reporters yesterday.
Well, it was a heck of a football game. I think it came down to 3 points or so, and I would have liked to have come out on the other end of it. I thought Bill and his staff had a great plan. Tom played well. Donovan played well. So, I mean, it was back and forth there. Overall, I just thought it was a good game.
Well, Andy, Donovan was puking through his face mask in the fourth quarter.
But it was a good game.
Good game. Donovan played well. Did he?
Some
played well in that game.
Close
it
game.
Ingrained in my
Owens.
Memory.
Oh, my God.
Terrell Owens limping around. What do you have, 11 catches? And he was unstoppable.
High ankle sprain, and he balled out in that game.
I was like, Jesus, this guy's a stud. Stud, stud, stud.
Couldn't stop him. Guy wanted it. He wanted that game. He wanted to win that game badly.
T.O. said McNabb was hungover.
I believe him.
Probably.
A lot of people chalked it up to, just a hard game, and he couldn't keep up. And
Saturday night, before the Super Bowl, nothing better than just sucking down half a bottle of
bad clams. Got a hold of a bad clam.
Imagine that.
At 6 o'clock the next day?
I don't believe that.
It's bad.
I've been hangover at 6 o'clock the next day.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you see Beetle down New Orleans? Oh, my God.
Oh, I've had a hangover last morning.
We should replay that show that next day just to show how pale Beetle was on air and how sweaty.
How sweaty.
Oh. No.
And then Jeff Howe showed up and it was more of the same.
Felger in Minnesota.
After that night out, which ended at 6 a.m., it wasn't really a night out anymore. It was a long, all night out. I I forced myself to puke to be able to go do that show. Yeah.
No, I had to. I'd rather
had
do
to.
More.
Wouldn't have lived otherwise.
More placenta talk than do that. Like when, okay. when Felger showed up in Minneapolis and he was green. I mean, he was just the.
Oh. What did we do? We walked
with, like,
around
Dairy
a little bit.
Queen. Remember that? Like, what was he? What was he eating?
We walked
Chick-fil-A, something terrible. Felger usually is always eating very healthy.
Oh, very clean.
And when you see him eat something like that, like, oh, boy, you really are a mess today.
Yeah. Beto, we walked all the way down the other end of the mall to buy those ponchos, those pullovers, because all like the gear started to show up about midweek. And we came back through Radio Row, because that's where our car was. You'd park outside.
Yeah.
And remember, they were on one of their breaks, and Felger was just laying down on the table. And Capella's like, I don't know what's going on.
Because what Capello does is he goes back to his hotel room, probably drinks like four cups of coffee and grinds it out with, you know, Ingram Angle and whatever else the fuck.
Hannity.
Hannity.
Grinds it out, so to speak, yes.
Breed. Is that this team?
React.
Finally, Bucks head coach Bruce Arians asked about his aggressive personality. Very aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hit a home run if you're going to swing for one. You can't do anything special in life sitting on a fence. And, you know, the question back then was, if there was a quarterback that was a free agent, who would you want? And, of course it was Tom Brady, but not thinking he'd become a free agent. But once he did, it was a pursuit that we wanted to make and knew he had some interest. So, but again, that's how you live life. I don't just sit and live in a closet and try to be safe, or just go have some damn fun.
Hit home runs. Don't sit on the fence. Don't sit in the closet.
So he's Kenny Rogers. Gambler.
I don't know if he's saying gamble. He's saying you go have some fun.
Gotta have some fun.
Get off the fence. Get out of the closet. Hit a home run.
Is he acting like this was swinging for the fences? Like this was a big risk that he took in going after Tom Brady?
You know what?
Is that sort of the suggestion there?
You know what?
I would say it was the other way around.
You see how he wears his little box right there on his chest?
Yeah, he straps it on.
Like that. At least he's got it figured out. Anthony Lynn doesn't still. Like Anthony Lynn's still looking, where's my button? Where's my button? Aaron's got to do it right here. Just grab it right here. Got it right here.
Makes sense.
Have some fun. Have some fun.
Breed.
Let's not have the Detroit people steal what the Sicilians invented.
I think there is a slight.
I can't hear you.
There.
React.
Can't hear you. Don't bother speaking back to me. Can't hear you.
I have no interest in engaging in the conversation.
No, don't just steal from Sicilians.
That it?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Great job. Great job, everyone. Jim Irsay has spoken. It says in our notes today, there's Irsay audio to get to. Oh. And we're going to do. You ready for that? Can you do that today, Hardy? You have it in you?
I don't know. It's all based on what he says.
It's exciting. Let's do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Scott Solak is so laser focused on sports. What could possibly distract him from his steaming hot take?
Dog taking a crap in my yard. Plastic bag time. Pick it up.
Did she pick it up?
Nope.
Solak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This year has been very historic. It's going to be remembered for a while. And it certainly was. A very challenging year, but a very fulfilling year in many ways. I remember being in Palm Beach, Florida at the Breakers with the Finance Committee in March 2nd and of 2020. And really weird talking about a lot of different issues. And for about 5 minutes, it came up about this possible virus that's in parts of the world, and will it come to America?
It's the owner. Is there anybody in there?
Just not if you can. What do you think that lunch tab was?
And it passed over the international dateline.
Yeah.
And has come to various parts.
So America. That virus was one day old when it was in Hawaii, and then it flies over the international dateline. It's 2 days old. But it's only another hour older.
Oh.
Or is it the other way around? All right, so we have her say.
This guy.
We have two clips to get to. You want to start on these?
Well, he doesn't have a quarterback either, you know.
No. Well,
he needs one.
Do the Colts want a veteran quarterback? This is what this is titled.
Okay.
So here's Jim Irsay's response.
And looking at this thing. You can't go to an old book you have in your closet that George Halas gave you or something and try to find the right answers, because
anybody keep books in their closet just out of curiosity?
No,
ever.
I don't
anywhere
have a book closet. No, I don't. I don't know anything about that.
Maybe a pornographic book, but otherwise, no, they're on the shelves or in a box somewhere. Anyway,
it's very thin margins when you're trying to evaluate all that, but. First and foremost, I'd say, in talking with Chris and Frank and myself, our beliefs is we're close. We have a tremendous nucleus of players that are capable of competing for the Super Bowl very soon.
I don't disagree with anything so far. I think they are close, but
they're a good team.
I'm just waiting for him to become Irsay.
So ideally, if you can get someone to come in this year and several years after who is ready to go, it gives you your best opportunity, and you don't have as much of a maturation aspect of seeing them develop and get to that level that they need to get so you can get to a Super Bowl and win it. So, and that being said, we'll just have to see where opportunity pushes us.
So he's out on Brissett then, right?
It sounds like it, but man, does he take a long time to say just the obvious. I think we're really close.
He's wordy.
If we find a veteran quarterback that doesn't need years to figure out how to win and just gets us there, then I think we can win.
He's one of those guys that needs to think while he's talking, to continue to talk, and he's trying to think ahead before he talks.
I don't know. Maybe it's like a Midwest thing. But not everybody talks that slow. Seems to be with the owners. They're really powerful, but they're very, very careful in their words. They think quickly, but speak slowly. Like, what? How much thought did that require? We got a good team. If we get a veteran quarterback, we can win. But I'm bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. We're close. It would help if we got someone who could play right away.
Would you want Andrew Luck to come back?
Oh,
I really think it kind of stands where it stands. And I think, like I said before, you know, Andrew's retired and that, you know, he knows we would love to have him back, but only he can ever answer that question.
Would they love to have him back right now as opposed to getting, say, Matthew Stafford? Is that what they would wish for?
No,
I don't think so either.
I wouldn't trust him.
You think Andrew Luck can come back and play?
He might. He might be able to.
He might. Can Matthew Stafford play?
Yes.
There you go. There's your answer.
You don't have to give up anything, though, to get Andrew Luck back.
Right.
There's no cost.
I'd rather have the guy doesn't sound like that.
Oh, that's why you'd rather have Stafford.
Yeah. I'm surprised to hear you have a problem with someone who sounds like that based on your last commercial.
Dippery? Yeah. Well, that's something caught my throat.
Deep in his heart and his soul is, hey, do I really want to come back and be a quarterback for the Colts again in the NFL? So
NFL.
You know, it's easy for us. I mean, he knows how much we'd love to have him be our quarterback. I mean, there's just no question about that.
Okay, he could end it right there.
Wreck.
He could end it right there. This, we're halfway done with this answer. What else is there to say?
But at the same time, we know for it to work out, he has to be the one that says, you know what, I'm ready. I want
to. Oh, you can't force him to come to leave his house and come play quarterback after he retired from the game, from the NFL?
We already know these things, Jim.
I want to really create a little bit of history and unprecedented aspects. You know, if Jordan could give him the fax number, the exact back, how to write that out, I'd be all happy for it, Michael, to give that to him. It's about 2 years, so I'll be checking my fax machine.
What?
Check the fax machine.
What? When's the last time you guys used the fax?
I don't. He obviously just watched The Last Dance.
What? Did Jordan fax that he was coming back?
Yes, yeah, faxed, I'm back.
But okay. What does that? What does he mean? Like, he wants Andrew Luck to do that? And send a... what?
You know what?
No, what?
I'm ready.
It's a new technology. And we're going to get a fax machine hooked up.
Jesus.
He has to be the one who says, you know what? I'm ready.
Yeah, I understand. You can't. You can't force him to return to
play
the game.
Football. He's got to want to come back and play football again.
Someone tweeted us. He's a very old 61. I'm like, there's no way he's only 61. But no, he's 61.
Oh, some hard living.
Shut up. Irsay's only 61?
Hard living.
Have you ever watched him walk?
June of 1959.
I watched him walk. Bob and I remember when the Colts were playing here. He waddled all the way over to the Colts sideline, and he looked like Fred Sanford. You know, like when Fred Sanford walks, he's all bow-legged and like, yeah, it's kind of got that Oompa Loompa thing going. And he's like, 61?
What would you have pegged him at?
68 to 72.
I would say 75.
Minimum 70.
61.
Oh, man. Wow. He tweeted an hour ago.
Put it this way. Tom Cruise is 58. Does he look only 3 years older than Tom Cruise?
Look at his skin. What happened to his skin?
Jim Irsay tweeted an hour ago, 54 years ago tonight at the Seville Theater in London. No words.
But was he seven?
He obviously wasn't there, as far as we know.
I could have been at seven.
No words. I don't know what happened.
No words. No words. I don't think most... It's
something tell me it would be a lot of words.
It's a reference to a Who concert.
Ugh.
What was the time and place? What did he say?
1967, 54 years ago tonight, the Seville Theater in London. No words.
No more words.
I don't know. I don't think that's live at Leeds.
Extreme?
Unless that's the Seville Theater was in Leeds. I don't know.
Oh, man.
I think it was the Who.
Yeah, we settled on that.
Yeah, we did. We made that connection.
Thanks, Tom.
Oh, boy.
And Hendrix.
Hendrix was there, too.
Wow. Did you have that?
I did not.
Nope.
There's got to be... Was that Hendrix's first show in London? We'll figure out what it all means. I mean, who knows?
Why not give us some words? Why not educate those who are not old enough to have seen it themselves, like yourself?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.